I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday afternoon. David K. Johnston is joining us momentarily. David is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, and he's done work for some 20 years now on income inequality. He's had a chance to do thorough examination on 2013 incomes and says that it's continuing bad news for Americans. We'll be talking about the richest people in the world and how much money they have when you compare with the poorest people in the world. We'll talk about union membership and the decline in union membership. And we'll be looking at college loans. We'll be looking at tax policy in this country and whether or not it needs an overhaul and what that might be, and much more. David is a terrific guest and really knows his subject matter, and it's a subject matter that concerns all of us. Before we start with David, let me just remind you that we are in our winter membership drive, and so we would love to have you give us your gift during the course of this conversation. David is with us from time to time, and he's an important guest. So if you love these kinds of conversations, and if you learn a whole lot, WPR.org is the place to go, or 888-202-2552. David has written a number of books: Free Lunch, Revealing How Government Policies Take Money to Enrich the Few. It also looks at how policies leave college graduates with huge debt while lenders are making triple the profits of commercial banks. He's the author of Perfectly Legal, which looks at tax policy, in which he takes on both the Bush and Clinton administrations. Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. He teaches business, taxes, and property law of the ancient world at Syracuse University College of Law, and he's worked for a number of publications, the New York Times, the LA Times. He started his journalism career at the age of 17, and by 19 was a staff writer at the San Jose Mercury. We'll be welcoming phone calls on air for him as we look at this inequality gap or equality gap in this country. Our phone number on air is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Hello, David. Thanks so much for being with us again.
Well, Kathleen, delighted to be with you.
Yeah, our pleasure. You know, this figure has stayed in my mind, and I think about it so often, David, and you mentioned it in one of your articles, this report from Oxfam in January, 85 richest people in the world are as wealthy as the poorest half of the world. Their combined wealth as much as the poorest 3.5 billion of the world's population. So question one is, what is the reason for this amazing growing concentration of wealth?
Government policy. I mean, the short and long answer to that is government policy. Government sets the rules. Government decides how much to tax or how to, in the case of people at the very top, let them live tax-free in many cases, or funnel money to them from the taxpayers, diverting it from public purposes. Now, there are other factors. Whenever you get a big breakthrough in technology, you will get large new fortunes, and we will see in the future, for example, how advances in biological science are going to create fortunes that are likely to make those of Bill Gates and Larry Ellison and other digital pioneers look pretty modest. But the key thing to understand is it's government policy.
Don't you find that incredible that all that wealth is in the hands of 85 people?
Well, it also tells you what enormous influence they have over your, over our lives, that the size of these fortunes are so massive, and in many cases they're highly concentrated, so that they restrict dynamic activity in the economy. They are often run in ways that are risk-averse, so they're not creating jobs. And, of course, that money is easily and often very smartly deployed to seek ever more favors from government.
Who is, you wrote a piece recently, just within the last couple of weeks, about old businesses not being, they're businesses that we think are stable in the places to work, but they're not job generators. You mentioned who isn't creating jobs. Who is creating jobs, and why aren't old established businesses creating jobs?
Well, this is they actually are creating jobs, or at least their share of jobs is going way up. One of the big changes in our country since the 1980s is that the share of companies that are less than a year old has fallen a lot, from 13% of all employers to 8%. And the share of jobs at companies that have been in business at least 11 years has grown from about two-thirds of all jobs to 80% of all jobs. And the reason is government policy puts all sorts of barriers in place to new businesses. Despite all the rhetoric about entrepreneurialism and new business, we have set up obstacles to creating new cable companies, for example, to compete with the de facto monopolies we have now. Recently, I spoke to a very wealthy oil man who had sold his business. The new owners promised to keep his crew on. Of course, once the agreements ran out, all of them were let go. So he has, at the age of about 80, gone back into the business he was in. And he, one of the things he told me was when he started out, there were two basic taxes he had to pay. And in both cases, they were excise taxes where he could pay the government 90 days after he collected, which really meant he had a float. That is, he could keep the taxes to reinvest in his business for about 120 to 150 days. He said now they have a rule where he has to pay the excise tax upon delivery of the materials before he's even sold it to his customers, which means if you don't have the capital to pay the tax up front, you can't compete. And he cited that as one of a number of examples of new obstacles to business that he can overcome because he's fabulously wealthy, but that would certainly inhibit most entrepreneurs.
You've had a chance to look in great detail at the first data on 2013 incomes. You write that it's continuing bad news for Americans, average income falling, even though the economy grew at 3.2%, income falling 2.6% in real terms over the year 2012. What happened?
Well, this is one of the real fundamental problems going on in our society. The returns the economy produces, the economic growth it produces, can only go two ways. It either goes to labor or it goes to capital. And the share going to labor has been falling. It's been falling since the 60s, but it's been falling like a rock since about 2000. So we end up with a situation in which everybody's income is smaller now than it was back in 2000 and 2007. The bottom 90% of Americans are making 15% less money in real terms in 2013 than they did back in 2000. And even at the top, incomes have fallen. If you're in the 1% of the 1%, you know, that's the households that begin at about $10 million a year in round numbers. Mitt Romney is near the bottom of that group. That group's average income has fallen from by $7.3 million each to around $25 million. They were about $32 million in 2000. So they've taken a bigger hit than anybody else. The number of jobs that pay over $2 million a year has shrunk from 2000 to 2013 by about 5% and the average pay by 4%. I mean, every single sign is the economy is growing, but the incomes people report, total incomes, and the wages that they are earning are slipping.
Mm-hmm. As you know, we're debating, and it will probably happen in Wisconsin, right-to-work legislation, which will make Wisconsin one of 25 states, a significant number of states. What has been, if anything, the result of right to work, the decline in union membership, particularly among private sector workers? Does it make a difference or not in pay?
Oh, it makes an enormous difference. First of all, right to work really means right to lower pay. If you believe in market economics, you should believe in unions. The founders of this country believed in unions in a form. And the reality is that a market economy is where two parties, each with reasonable access to the information they need, not acting under coercion, reach agreement on a price. Well, in labor, we now have an asymmetrical market. The companies, whether the companies, the business, the nonprofits, the government agencies, they have studies and lawyers and analysis, and all the information is on their side. And they have used this to drive down the wages they're paying to just about everybody except CEOs, which are a special class because of government rules. Now, in 1792, Congress passed the first federal subsidy law. The cod fishing ships of the United States were bringing in one quarter of our foreign earnings. The country was vastly deeper in debt then than it is today. And we needed to do something because of the British Navy harrying these cod fishing ships. So Thomas Jefferson, man of science, ordered a study. If we're going to subsidize the cod fishing fleet, how do we do it most effectively? And Congress then passed a law that said this subsidy will not go to ships that only pay wages. It will only go to ships that have an agreement to pay a share of the profits to the fishermen, and they have to have a signed agreement in advance laying it out. And 62.5% of the subsidy will go to the fishermen, and the remaining 3/8 will go to the ship owners. What more evidence do you need that the founders believed in this? The founders wanted every farmer to own his own land, every worker to own his own tools. And John Adams wrote of his fear that what would destroy America eventually was a business aristocracy, which would persuade people who had no property, no tools, no land, only their wages, to vote for things that would benefit the business aristocracy because they didn't know better. Kind of sounds like what's going on today.
That is absolutely fascinating piece of history. I knew nothing of it. That's why we have you on the air, David. Thank you very much for that information. What's also happened, and David has written about this, if wages are depressed, are we making it up in any way in some cities in this country where the minimum wage has been going up? Has what's happened to our wages resulted in nationwide drives to raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour? And will that make our take-home pay a little bit better? We certainly welcome phone calls for him as well. Here is how you reach our conversation. David really knows the economy, as you can tell, and he's done for years and years and years. He's looked at the reasons for a growing concentration of wealth. He knows the history of this. He knows what's happening to the average American worker and to those people who are making a whole lot of money as well, and how government policies play a role here. So join our conversation on air. We'd like to hear from you. Here's how you do it. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. David is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. He teaches business, tax, and property law, and also property law of the ancient world, I should say, at Syracuse University College of Law. And he's written for the New York Times, LA Times, and many publications, and is a commentator on all kinds of national programs as well. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we'll start taking your calls for David K. Johnston in just one moment. We have our own economics to deal with here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Lisa Nalbandian is joining me. And as you probably know, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. And I got to tell you, it's your support that is an essential piece of the funding for this program and for all of the programs that you enjoy on WPR. This is a drive that is meaning that it's time to take you time for you to take action to become a WPR contributor with your gift. And you do it very easily at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you so much for the folks out there that have already given. Last hour, 23 people called in.
Nice.
And 11 of those were new, so that's even more exciting. And this hour, we have a goal of 45 pledges.
Which we can do, mm-hmm. Lisa. Support the station that you really love. Help us meet the goal. And you can give now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
So there's a little special recipe for the Ideas Network, and that's a mix of diverse viewpoints, different guests, and you, the listeners. Because there's so much good food for thought on these programs, you probably find yourself starting a lot of conversations with. Yesterday on the Kathleen Dunn Show, mm-hmm. I heard. Yesterday on WPR,
right.
I heard. So it's time to take action. Be part of making this show happen with your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
And you can decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters. Every pledge will help to pay for all of the programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. During the drive, you can also ask for your I Love WPR magnets when you give $60 or more.
And you'll get one large and one small magnet. And you can stick them on your car or your refrigerator or wherever you like. And I'm really excited for these magnets because it's been a while since we've had magnets. So these are kind
like
of
magnets.
A hot... I feel like they're sort of a hot commodity.
All right.
So pledge now. Show your support. Ask for these magnets. And it's a gift of $60 or more, which breaks down to $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I especially like the talk shows. Just having a host and a guest isn't good enough for me. I really like the interaction, and I have called in, but very rarely. I just enjoy hearing other people call in and share information. It's a wonderful source of news for me. I'm Barbara Gilmore from Grafton, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for all my news about our world.
Lisa Nalbandian joining me in our Milwaukee studios. We are asking for your support of WPR during this winter membership drive. Your gift might be $10, $20 a month. Any amount that you choose is okay for you and okay for us, and we thank you.
You first joined the WPR community as a listener. You started tuning in each and every day. And now it probably feels right to join this community, but kind of upping the ante as a donor. Funding the great programs on WPR is a group effort.
And we do this together. We do it one pledge at a time, $1 at a time. If you've never given before, you could start with a donation of $5 a month. It's very easy to set up. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You'll feel great once you make your pledge today. And you know what? It's really hard to feel great in February when it's this cold outside. Maybe it's just me. So you'll
have. It's not just you.
Right. Okay. So take the easy way out today and feel good by making your pledge right now and knowing you made this station possible.
Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. Your pledge keeps the conversations that we're having today and day after day possible. It guarantees our future. It guarantees really your future listening. Pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and you will feel good. February, March, April, May, June, July, on it goes.
And giving to WPR is easy. We've talked a lot about asking you to give, and just know it takes a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, maybe $10 a month.
That donation will come back to you every day in the form of great programs. So show your support, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Please give as generously as you can.
Your pledge right now can say a lot of different things. It can say, I value this show. I want more like it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. So fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show, because all of those things are really powerful. And you make such a statement when you support what you value and what you believe in. So join, renew, make an extra gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have, Lisa, 38 pledges to go, and we have about 38 minutes to get those. We're rolling here. So your gift will keep us rolling on. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And this pledge driver offering something pretty fun. You can show your support for WPR with the new I Love WPR magnets. They're yours for a pledge of $60 or $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day that you may increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or whatever amount you choose. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Susan from Laval says, I've been listening to WPR for many years and finally felt that I should donate for the privilege of listening to all your fine programs. Well, thank you so much, Susan.
And your pledge will make a difference during this winter membership drive. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you. And for the privilege of being able to hear from people like David K. Johnston, it just doesn't happen on many other media outlets, and it's important information. It affects all of us. I mean, if you if that figure that I mentioned at the beginning of the show strikes you and kind of stays with you as much as it does me, that 85 people in the world are making as much money as one half of the world's population, I mean, doesn't that call for an examination of some kind? So that's part of what we're talking about with David, and it's a conversation worth having. 888-202-2552 is the number to call. David is with us this hour, and we have phone calls coming in, and we'll go to Frank in Milwaukee for our first call. David, hi, Frank.
Hi, thank you again for a fabulous program. I just gave a donation. I will be a sustainer one day. I'm taking care of aged relatives. Oh. One is 109 years old.
Oh, Frank, my goodness. Remarkable.
Mr. Johnson, I'm so upset about the right-to-work laws. And there are right-wing commentators who say that unions are un-American. And my answer to that is that they were voted in by the workers by an overwhelming majority in most businesses. And if a person doesn't want to be in a union, don't apply to a union shop. Is there other arguments I can use about that?
Sure. I mean, one of them is, what's un-American about an association? What could possibly be un-American about an association? This isn't a closed club you're shut out of. If you're hired, you're in the union. And unions provide symmetry. That is, they have some knowledge, they have bargaining power, and they make sure that a reasonable share of the output of the company is paid to the workers, and paid to them in ways that include things like health benefits, retirement plans, leave time for bereavement or birth of new children, things like that, that individuals generally cannot negotiate. If you look at a chart of the decline of union membership in this country, which has gone from around 37% in 1973 to under 7% today in the private sector, you'll see that it almost perfectly matches the decline in incomes from labor. So there's nothing un-American about having unions. In fact, I would argue that banning unions is un-American. And, you know, the United States government requires Japan to have unions. General Douglas MacArthur, not exactly a screaming lefty, imposed unions upon Japan under the Constitution his staff wrote for them after World War II, because he said it would reduce in less bellicosity, more democratic society, and greater equality that would promote social stability.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And by the way, Kathleen,
yes.
I will offer 3 signed copies that I will send to donors of Divided, The Perils of Our Growing Inequality, my anthology, to the first 3 people who call in, pledge $100, and say they want the book.
All right,
just
David.
Give your name and address, and I will mail the books to you signed.
All right. Thank you, David. I'm sure they're listening to us, and the pledge number is 888-202-2552, 888-202-2552. Thank you so much, and all the best taking care of your 109-year-old relative. That's really amazing. Let's go to Jeff next in Madison. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, I'm a sustainer, so I guess that book offer, I'll have to get it at the library, but that's okay. Mr. Johnson, it's frustrating, this inequality you're talking about, and we all know that, and there's no guarantee the pendulum's going to swing back towards equality. In fact, there may not even be a pendulum, but supposing this were possible, I'm just curious, what 2 or 3 things do you suggest the average American might do, other than voting, voting certainly, though, hasn't changed things. American people seem to consistently vote against their own interests in this regard. What else do you recommend?
Well, first of all, Jeff, that's a wonderful question. And, you know, you could call in and donate another $100 and be one of those 3, but I suspect those calls have already come in. There are a number of things we can do. First of all, in fact, you need to have a lot more voting. And one of the things I've recommended is saying to candidates or groups that are dealing with ballot initiatives, recalls, things like that, stop spending your money on television. You cannot outspend the Koch brothers. Put all your money into registering people to vote and then getting volunteers and, if necessary, paid people, or at least people you pay to put gas in their car, to get people to the polls on Election Day. That is the number one thing to do. Polls show that 3 out of 4 Republicans want to increase Social Security benefits. 3 out of 4 Republicans want to increase Social Security benefits. That tells you how totally out of touch the elected Republican leaders are with the views of their own people in their own party, and I'm a registered Republican. As many as 90% of Americans believe that we should have higher tax rates on people who make over $1 million a year. And if somebody did a poll and asked you to be able to rake in $100 million a year and pay no taxes, I'm sure that it would be close to 100% in favor of against the idea that you could have that much income and pay no taxes. So number one, I really do think, is you got to get people to the polls. The second thing is, get together with friends, pick an issue that you care about, and then when politicians run for office, show up, sit in scattered places in the room and ask a question. And when they try to weasel off it, have somebody else say, wait a minute, you didn't answer the question. And do it again and again with different people in different forums until the politicians get the message that we are really paying attention to you. Because if you're a politician in Congress or the Senate, the reality of your life is, you and I don't matter. It's the donor class that matter, and we have to change that equation. If we can't change it by other means, we can change it by politically being active and pushing.
Thank you very much for your call, Jeff. We'll take more for David. David K. Johnston is our guest this hour, and we're talking about inequality and tax policy and a number of issues that look at why inequality continues to grow and wages continue to go down. Our number is 800-486-8655. Just a brief mention, David, of this move, and it's really kind of taken steam here in cities all over the country to raise the minimum wage to $15 per hour. Is that going to help those people who are sort of at the bottom of the wage scale make up what they've lost in wages?
Oh, it's going to help everybody. But here's an interesting fact that I'm the only one who's reported. Between 2000 and 2013, people who make under $20,000 a year, and by the way, that's 4 out of 10 workers.
Oh, my goodness.
They actually saw their average pay increase a little bit, $126 a year. Now, that's not very much money. It's essentially a little over $2 a week, but if you're making $400 a week, maybe that's enough to matter. But the reason is George W. Bush and a majority of Republicans voted to raise the minimum wage 3 times, 2007, 2008, and 2009, and that was a total of $2.10. The minimum wage, federal minimum wage today, is way below what it was when I was a minimum wage worker in the 60s. I was making the equivalent of $11 an hour back then. The minimum wage now is 7.25. When you raise the minimum wage, studies of counties that match each other across state lines, there are a whole bunch of those, show that there's no negative effect and there are clear positive effects. And think about it for a minute. If you live on the border with Minnesota, are you going to drive across to the other state and go 15 miles to go to a restaurant for dinner because they're paying the minimum, a lower minimum wage?
Probably not.
And you know, you're going to save a dollar on a $50 meal? Nah, the car travel isn't worth it. And we know this from San Jose, California, where they raised the wage for restaurant workers and the suburbs around them did not. It hasn't hurt the restaurant business one bit.
Mm-hmm. One more phone call we'll take many more phone calls, but let's go to one more right now. John in Spring Green, hi.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Just fine. Mr. Johnson, I agree with you totally on as far as the majority of what you say. I want it made understood up front. I am not a Republican, not a Democrat. I really don't care for any political party, and I don't see that much between the two of them. My father one time made the statement to me that the Republicans were going to steal your money and the Democrats were going to spend it all up. So I happen to be a libertarian. I believe in the decentralization of government.
So what's your question?
People, exactly as you say, let's be honest, there's probably 10 companies in the United States that control the flow of information, the wealth, and everything else. And in order to disengage those people from being as active as they are, you have to do it at a statewide basis. And I think we need to revert to that.
Well, do you have a question, John?
Regarding unions, which was one of the key points I wanted to bring out, is you're talking about the un-American activity of those people who oppose unions, and that they really unions are all these wonderful things. Unions actually in the 50s and 60s and going back to the 30s were a wonderful institution. Since that time, I think unions have lost their way.
All right. They've lost their way.
Well, let me just point out, all of our economic competitors are heavily unionized. In Germany, executives have unions. And when you go to the countries who are our major economic competitors, and I'm excluding China here as a special case, you know, you don't see beggars in the street. You go to Stockholm, the most heavily taxed country in the world, or just about the most heavily taxed, very heavily unionized country. The stores are full of goods. The cars are all shiny and new. There isn't a pothole to be found because I spent 3 days looking for them over a week a few years ago. Unions level things out and produce a more stable society. Unions aren't perfect. There's all things wrong with unions, but good grief, corporations aren't perfect either, and I don't think any union ever did what the Rockefellers did in 1905, which was machine gun women and children.
David K. Johnson is our guest this hour, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. He's the author of a number of books, Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind, Free Lunch, How Government Policies Take Money to Enrich the Few, and Perfectly Legal, which addresses tax policy. We'll get more into tax policy and what kind of reform may be needed in the United States as we continue our conversation with him. I do want to remind you that this is our Winter Public Radio Membership Drive, and Lisa Nalbandian is joining me in our studios in Milwaukee, and we are here for this part of the show to raise money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like the one you're listening to. Please give your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 22 minutes to get to 31 pledges. So make your gift right now and support the station you love.
And thank you so much. Really, thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, please help us stay on track by making your contribution at this very moment. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
There are so many reasons, I'm sure, that you tune in to WPR, but I bet a big one is the smart conversations about compelling topics. You count on hearing in-depth, thought-provoking discussions every time you tune in. Because WPR is listener-supported radio, your gift right now at WPR.org or via phone 888-202-2552 makes such a difference. And how does it make a difference? Well, very simply, it makes these discussions right now possible.
Absolutely. And during this membership drive, you can get this I Love WPR magnet when you give $60, which is $5 a month or more. And your donation will support all the programs you count on. You can always ask for these magnets, and you can get them at that level, and you'll like them.
That's right. You get one large magnet, one smaller magnet, so you don't have to decide. You get two magnets, so you don't have to choose where you're going to put that one magnet. You get two. So show your love for WPR. Pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you're thinking your tax dollars, federal and state, already support WPR, you're right, they do. And we thank them for that.
But contributions from individual listeners just like you make the quality and the variety of programs on WPR possible. Listener support is the single biggest piece of our budget. And you make that difference. Because WPR matters to you, make a personal contribution to pay for the radio programs you listen to. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sue German. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
I think many of us are so grateful this service is here. You may have heard that Wisconsin is having a debate about the level of funding for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. It could lead to a significant decrease in state support, and that funding has been very important to delivering programs like this one throughout the state.
Wisconsin Public Broadcasting is working hard to address this challenge as the budget process goes forward. And listener support continues to be a vital part of the WPR budget. Your donation is more important than ever at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your gift, $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount you choose, is absolutely the right amount.
That's right. And hey, maybe you've been on vacation or your car radio didn't work or your smartphone died and you felt like something was missing when you couldn't listen to or stream WPR for a while. And then when you got WPR back, you had this great feeling of like being back in balance, of being this feeling of familiarity.
And when you see how happy you are to have all those familiar voices and programs back, it's when you realize how important WPR is in your life. And the way to keep it here is to support it with your dollars. Make your pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
More than 16,000 WPR members are proud sustaining members. They provide a steady, reliable stream of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio.
So you can join their ranks by choosing a monthly giving amount, maybe $10 a month, and setting it up on an ongoing basis. It's really the best way to support the station you rely on. So become a sustainer right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So you've keyed up WPR.org. You've called the phone number and you're wondering, how much should I give? Well, that's completely up to you. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that'll keep you entertained and informed every single day.
Make that pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We need about 25 more pledges and about 16 minutes to get them. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really, really helps.
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you so much, Lisa. We're going to continue with David K. Johnston in this important economic conversation that we have with him. He's a terrific reporter. He's won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting, and he really has looked at all of the numbers and looked very carefully at this large issue of wealth inequality in this country and in the world. And so we're talking about that and how it affects you in your pocketbook. We're talking about unions. We're talking about tax reform, which we'll get to more in just a moment, and welcoming your phone calls on air. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. For you to join us on air. David returns, will return to take on this large topic in just a moment. David K. Johnston, our guest. Our phone number on air is 800-486-8655, and we have a ton of phone calls coming in to you, David. So let us go next to Sarah in Zion, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I'm very, very happy to be able to ask you my question. Yesterday, during your conversation about school funding in Wisconsin, there was a teacher on the air who kept asking, because it's getting K-12 education is just getting slashed. And the teacher kept asking, why is Scott Walker doing this? What is his vision for education? And I wanted to ask you, do you think it's too simplistic to say that Scott Walker has no vision for education because he's doing what Alec wants? And Alec's whole worldview is that the upper classes, or as you said, the aristocracy, believe that they have everything they have because they're just better than everyone else and they deserve to be up there, and the lower classes are inferior and lazy and irresponsible, and they shouldn't be educated because they're just going to cause a lot of problems if they get educated and they don't deserve it.
All right, I'm going to hold you there, Sarah, because we're really short on time. Is there an ALEC plan for right-to-work legislation, David?
Oh, yes. The ALEC has been one of the key organizations pushing this idea, because ALEC represents the interests of those business owners who primarily are focused on their own well-being and not a sense that we are a society. Absolutely, that's the case. And, you know, look, if you want to have a society where the future adults of the world don't have any sense of numbers, of history, of regard for other human beings, and don't think critically, then, you know, please do go ahead and hire $30,000 a year teachers, because that's what you'll produce.
Thank you, Sarah, very much for your call. We need to talk about tax reform for a moment, which you believe we haven't looked at for a long time. What do we need to do in this country for it to be fair for all, to keep the economy growing, maybe even more than it is right now, and to get more money in people's pockets?
Well, I'm actually drafting a new tax code,
All right.
Kathleen. For 20 years, I've been saying we have a tax code well-designed for the middle of the 20th century, and we now live in a different economy. We don't live in the industrial age anymore, and we live in a global digital economy. And so nobody else was doing it. So the official U.S. government version of our tax code is 6,500 pages. Mine will be under 500 pages. I've already rolled out part of it. But fundamentally, the principles that the tax system needs to have are that all gains should be taxed. You shouldn't be able, if you're wealthy, to borrow against your assets and therefore live tax-free, that is, get the benefit, particularly if you have assets that have never been taxed, which is basically what being rich means. You have a growth in the value of your assets. It should be simple, the tax system. There's no reason for all this complexity except to help various interests avoid actually paying taxes. And it should be progressive. The oldest surviving principle in Western civilization, it's 2,500 years old, is the moral basis of progressive taxation. The only reason you are able to do well and become wealthy is because you live in a civilized society, and you have an obligation. The wealthier you are, the greater the obligation to sustain that society with your taxes. Every classic worldly philosopher supported that idea. George W. Bush spoke repeatedly in favor of that idea. And that's what we need to recognize. And I also believe that we shouldn't have our top tax rate start at $400,000, which is the beginning of the 1%, when the top tenth of 1%, that's people over $2 million a year, have as much income as almost the bottom half of Americans, about 140 million Americans, and the top 300,000 have roughly the same income. We should have higher gradations further up.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to encourage investment and capital, and I have a plan to do that that's much simpler than these 401k plans and all the complex things Wall Street's doing.
So how do we read about that plan, David?
Well, part of it's been published, but it'll all be out later this year when I have it all finished. Right now I'm trying to raise the money not to do the work on it, but to promote it. Because it could just sink like a rock, and I want to make sure that it gets a serious hearing in front of our politicians.
Mm-hmm. Dennis in Red Granite, hi.
Hi. Your guest made the statement that there's no way we can compete with the Koch brothers or a lot of the other donations. And trying to be political active is great, but I don't think the politicians listen to the average person. So I wonder if he thinks it's going to take something like a taxpayer's revolt to wake up Congress and make them realize that the average citizen is just tired of the way things are run.
Dennis, that's a good question. I don't want to see any kind of violent revolution or trouble in this country. And the fact is that very few people vote. We just had an election in Chicago for mayor yesterday, where Rahm Emanuel got 45% of the vote, but only one in three people turned out to vote, which means about 13% of Chicagoans want him to be their mayor. You know, spending the money to turn out people to vote is very inexpensive. You can do a lot with people volunteering, and even if you have to, you're going to have to pay some people, building lists, motivating people to register, and actually getting them to the polls on election day. That is very inexpensive. TV ads change very few people's opinions of the issues, and they're not a smart way to spend money, in my view.
Well, there's something else going on. Maybe it's bad candidates, because people know they live in a democracy, and if their pocketbooks are being hit, that's so crucial, and there are so many issues to be concerned about. What is everybody just working all the time, and they can't be concerned?
Part of the problem is that people are working much more than they were 40 years ago when we didn't have two-income households. On the other side is a lot of people won't run for office. I mean, my wife was asked about, my wife is runs one of the biggest charities in the country, and she was asked about running for Congress, and I sat down and talked with her about who she would have to raise money from, that's what she does for a living, but who and what for? And she immediately went, I don't want to do that. And I went, yeah, nobody wants to. I've interviewed over 100 senators and congressmen about this, and they all find the fundraising system demeaning. They hate it, but they won't fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people do not run for office who would be terrific lawmakers just because the system is awful. And by the way, my colleagues in the news media and I deserve some blame for this, too, by focusing on, you know, gaffes and personal peccadilloes rather than substance.
Right. Oh, there's so much substance we need to focus on. David, thank you, as always, for all that you're doing to help us understand all of this, too. It can be extremely complicated, and you cut through all of that. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me on, Kathleen.
Yeah, our pleasure. David K. Johnston, our guest this hour. David joins us fairly often, actually. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter. His books include Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind, Perfectly Legal, which looks at tax policy, and he takes on both the Republicans and the Democrats, and Free Lunch, How Government Policies Take Money to Enrich the Few. He teaches business, tax, and property law of the ancient world at Syracuse University and helps us understand economics. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Lisa Nalbandian joining me in our studios here in Milwaukee. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like David K. Johnston. We talk about the economy frequently on this program. Your support continues to bring these voices to you. So please give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 7 minutes left, and we need 19 more pledges. Go to give to WPR to support the programs you rely on. Thank you so much. If you've already given, if you haven't, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying the conversation about the economy. How did you think to inform yourself? You go to people like David K. Johnston, who also knows history. Did you know those stories that he told us about the founders and what their thoughts were about cod fishermen, for heaven's sake? It was fascinating. It's an example of the important and, you know, quirky in a way, conversations that we have on this show.
So take a few minutes right now, make an hour like this possible and so many more other hours possible. Choose a gift that works for you, then make your pledge, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs that you love. And as an added incentive, we have something special during this winter membership drive. When you give $60 or more, that's $5 a month, you ask for the I Love WPR magnets.
And you'll get one large magnet, maybe for your car, and one small magnet, maybe for your refrigerator. So ask for the magnets right now. Show your support for WPR right now when you make your pledge right now at WPR.org 888-202-2552.
I'm Sam from Madison, and my husband and I are sustainers of WPR. Wisconsin Public Radio is really my main source for global news and community news. My husband and I like being sustainers because I don't have to think about the contribution that I write out. It's automatic. And when I hear appeals on the radio, I already feel good, like, yes, I made my donation and I'm making it monthly, so I don't have to think about it. I think it's critical that my husband and I support Wisconsin Public Radio and the programming that they broadcast. We really are lucky to live in this community, and I only want to make it stronger. So I hope you'll join me in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio as a sustaining member.
Maybe you've heard that the proposed state budget includes a significant cut in state support for Wisconsin Public Broadcasting. You tell us that you value the lasting impact of public broadcasting programs, news and conversations, music and entertainment.
That's why Wisconsin Public Broadcasting, including WPR, is working very hard to address the budget challenges as the process goes forward. Meanwhile, listeners' support is more important than ever. So make your gift at WPR.org, 888-202-2552. 2552.
Whether your pledge is $5 a month or it might be $100 a month or $105 a month, we appreciate and we also really count on your gift.
Is listening to Wisconsin Public Radio worth, say, $4 a day to you? If it is, consider becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. And that works out to a little bit less than $4 a day.
So if you find you've been getting more value from WPR in the past year, consider a contribution that puts you in the 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your gift now at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
WPR is your radio station. Your intelligence, involvement, and high expectations shape everything you hear on these airwaves.
Thank you for making sure that Wisconsin and beyond Wisconsin has a very vital, strong public radio service. WPR is your station because you fund it. So take the step and the responsibility, really, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before and you look forward to listening to WPR every day, well, that's a sign that it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you.
And you're important to us. Believe you me, you are, because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial support from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every month. So your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount feels right to you, it does make a difference. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Just a few seconds left,
yep.
Lisa.
We need about 15 more pledges in 2 minutes. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
All right, we can get those. Call everybody, and thank you so much. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the hour, Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our studios in downtown Milwaukee, Katie Cyrus for helping with our membership drive, and thanks everybody for all of your pledges. They are so important. These conversations are so important. You know that, so please contribute. News coming up, and we'll return.